Jesus. I greet you from the lovely city of Austin, Texas, in the United States of America. Hey, okay, grab your Bibles. Luke chapter 8, and verse 4 says, "And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowl of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might these parables be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no fruit, which for a while believe, and these have no root. Verse 13 again. They are on the rock, which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Okay. I'm just going to read three more verses. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or put it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Okay. Praise God for the reading of his word and for the truth. As we live in a world full of darkness and lies and deception that's spewed out by the world and the world system, isn't it refreshing to hear the truth, to hear the word, to hear that which gives life and that which comes direct to you from the throne of the living God? Yeah, no, the word is true. Life and breath and everything that we need is in him. In him we live and move and have our being. In another scripture it talks about how in all of Jesus' public ministry, he did not teach without using parables. And one thing that's interesting is, the people that he explained the truth to were those that pressed in and asked him. Because, a lot of people follow Jesus for all kinds of different reasons. People follow Jesus because, everybody was excited when he came to town. People were getting healed. Demons were being cast out. All these people had these questions about what was going on with him. And so a lot of people were swirling around what was going on with Jesus. And a lot of people showed up because, it was the thing to go to. It was the place to be. But when Jesus preached, when he taught, you know, his messages were not necessarily seeker-friendly. A lot of people walked away when he spoke, especially when he talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. When he talked about, you know, unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So, you know, a lot of people were like, look, this is a tough teaching. All right, we're gone. You know, I mean, that's where they were coming from. And, you know, incidentally, John 6, verse 66, John 6:66 talks about, in fact, let me just grab that really quick. Keep your finger in Luke. But, you know, John 6, verse 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And, yeah, you know, a lot of people, incidentally, interesting place for that verse for sure in Scripture. But, you know, when he spoke to them about him being the living bread that came down from heaven, you know, and if a man ate that bread, that he would live forever. And, you know, that bread that he gave was his flesh, and he gave it for the life of the world. And, you know, unless somebody ate the flesh of the Son of God and drank his blood, they had no life in them. And, you know, people couldn't deal with these teachings, and it offended them, and they made them mad. And, you know, verse 63, it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, in John chapter 6, the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. For the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then said Jesus unto his 12, verse 67, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Okay, let's go back to Luke chapter 8, even though we've, you know, just a side note with John. But, you know, Jesus in his public ministry spoke in parables. And, you know, if people wanted the truth, they had to ask and seek and knock. They had to ask for it, they had to seek it, and they had to knock. And without that, they never received, they never found, and the door was never open unto them. So a lot of people, you know, are not willing to press. And they want to just sort of sit back and sit in judgment of all that takes place. And rather than choosing to align their life with truth, rather than choosing to submit their life to the living God and ask him to reveal and to show all things, and coming in humility. No, they come in a place of pride, in a place of arrogance, in a place of entitlement, in a place of self-proclaimed position, because in the eyes of men, maybe they've achieved something, or maybe they've been set up by the collective. But, you know, God is no respecter of persons. Every person in this world is living on borrowed breath. You know, the very breath that's in every one of our lungs and our nostrils is a graceful gift on loan from God. Because there will be a point where everybody will have to give up that breath and stop breathing. And when that takes place, you know, the spirit and the soul carry on, but the body in this life does not. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. So, you know, it's... But in the midst of that eternal reality, which we know We know, we understand it, and yet in people's arrogance, they will seek to sit in judgment against the things of God. They will seek to try to exalt themselves, even as the fatal error of Lucifer was, to try to exalt themselves up to a place that they should not dare to try to be. You know, Lucifer in Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, you know, he wanted to be like the Most High. And, you know, that didn't get him very far. You know, part of life is knowing who you are and who you are in Him. And becoming what you were what you were destined to be. Not what you're deluded to be. But that only comes as a revelation from Him. Again, asking and seeking and knocking. And looking for that, for the revelation of who you are in Him, that's part of life, that's part of truth, that's part of growth and development, that's part of the destiny and the calling of every human being on this earth. But who are they that find it? Who are they that walk that out? Who are they that pursue that? So when Jesus would teach in His public ministry, He would teach in parables. And in that process, see, look, God is he's more about quality, okay? With the army of Gideon, you know, he whittled it down until there were just 300. Because in the end, he just said, you know, look, we're going to do it like this just so everybody knows and understands that, you know, I'm the one that does this. I'm the one that fights. And they were witnesses to what God did. But, you know, rather than the way that the world works to try to amass itself, you know, power in this world, which really is, you know, the power that this world has is ridiculous. When you compare to the infinite nature of God, the infinite power of God, the omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God, just every aspect of even what we already know, which is, when you just take what we already know of Him and you contrast that to the foolishness of those that would try to exalt themselves against the living God. It's a really dangerous place to be. I feel pity for them because they will have to give an eternal account of their choice, their decisions, their actions in this life. And they are going to also be placed on the scales. Mini Tekel Parson was, what was written on that wall in the plaster, during the time that Daniel was serving in the king's court. And, you know, in that succession of kings that he outlived, and one of them just got way too high and mighty in his own eyes. And, he and his people were praising the gods of wood and stone and gold and silver and using the things of God for to worship idols and to try to exalt that created things rather than the Creator. And at just a moment in the middle of that, a hand wrote on the wall, you've been weighed in the balances and you've been found lacking. And twice, mini Tekel Parson, and essentially, your kingdom stripped from you and it's going to be given. Let's see here. Where did it go to the next? I think it went to the Medes and the Persians. It's just like people live in a moment and they get deluded with themselves. They get deluded with the power that they have. They forget. Even if you don't ascribe to eternity the reality of that. If you just look at history, known history, that should be less than enough for you. Just if you just look at the known history of mankind, even with all the rewrites and even with all the manipulations of the history of mankind and everything that's there, even with that, if you look at that, that should be less than enough to understand your own mortality, your own time here, and that which really should be important in your window while you're here in this life. But interestingly enough, what seems to motivate most people and take them down the wrong track. I mean, Jesus, he told us, fortunately and gratefully, these things were recorded in the scriptures. So for our admonition, for our freedom, for our benefit, for our strengthening, so that we could live the abundant life. Let's go back to Luke chapter 8, and let's go to the explanation of the parable. Verse 9 says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you." Unto who? Unto the people that pressed in and asked him. Unto the people that were seeking truth. Unto the people that were looking to him, that weren't just there for the miracles and to be fed and for the show, but were there to actually for truth. Because where else are they going to go, as we read in John chapter 6? Jesus, you got the words of eternal life. So unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others, in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. In the modern day, who sees, who is seeing but does not see? And who hears but is not understanding? Where do we find that in this day? Well, one place that we find that is for everybody that is on the side of darkness. For everybody that is part of the world and the world system. For everybody that has gone the way. For everybody that is under the power of Satan. In Acts 26, Paul talked about his salvation and deliverance process, and literally being taken from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. And that process is a process of freedom. Everyone that is on is under the power of Satan. Oh, isn't that just a horrible thing, too? I mean, just the sound of that, to be under the power of Satan. There's so many times when I'll just meet people and I'll just see it. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their hearts. You can hear it in the words that they speak, that they're under the power of Satan, and they're slaves to the world system, slaves to the darkness. And it's just a horrible thing, because they're just miserable. They're miserable human beings that just try to sedate themselves for one more day, just to keep going in that madness and that insanity. So those are people that seeing, they don't see, and hearing, they don't understand. But it's also choice. People have chosen that way. They've chosen to reject truth. And now, why have they chosen to reject truth? And another thing too is a lot of the people that seeing and don't see and hear and don't understand, those are also those that are content to be on the periphery, to be on the outskirts. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5, I believe? It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." For right standing with God. Blessed are those that are hungry for what is real and hungry to be in connection with the living God. Blessed are they, for they will receive. They will be filled. But those that are not hungry for truth, those that are not hungry to be right with God, those that are not hungry to align their life with what is real, well, okay, you know, they're gonna ask for something else, they're gonna seek something else, and they're gonna knock on a different door, and they're gonna receive something else, they're gonna find something else, and the devil and the lie will be waiting for them behind the door that they knock on. Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So, all right. The seed is the word. Say it with me. The seed is the word. Oh, come on, say it. Don't just listen. The seed is the word. Okay, so, you know, God's made it very clear what the seed is. And it's the word. And the first thing that the devil tries to do is to try to take away that word. To try to take away the truth. To try to take away what is real. And to substitute it with the lie and illusion and everything else that goes along with that. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Okay. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Okay, you know, a lot of people are fair weather fans. Verse 13, you know, when the trial comes, they believe for a while, and in the time of temptation, they fall away. You know, there's a lot of people that have not yet to truly be tested in this world for their faith. And there's a lot of people that have been tested and have shown themselves strong. But when the trial comes, that's when you see who's real and who's not. Adversity is not a bad thing, my friends. Adversity is not a bad thing. It reveals character and it shows you where things are really at. It cuts away a lot of the illusion and the gloss, and it reveals the reality of what is what. They which fell among the thorns are they which, when they've heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. The cares, the worries, the fears of this life. You know, how many people in this life are motivated by fear? Fear is a huge, huge motivator in life. You know, in the world of advertising and marketing, that is one of two very powerful motivators that are used continually to move products and services. Fear is to get people afraid, to create fear. Fear is used to sell all kinds of ideas, to push all kinds of ideas, to get people under control. Because if you can get people to respond based on emotion rather than on truth, which actually, when people have truth, they're free. And when people have truth, they're actually able to make a decision on their own based on the merit of what is true rather than on an emotion which can be false or fictitious. So the world does not want people to have truth. It does not want free people. It wants controllable people. It wants pliable people. It wants people that will toe the line and be part of the system and be cogs. You know, the most rebellious thing you can do against the world is to know the truth, love the truth. You know, all these people that are trying to go up and, you know, want to be rock stars and all this kind of stuff, you know, they're all slaves. They're all part of the system. Whereas the person that embraces the truth, sings for the truth, moves forward the truth, you know, strives to live a life according to the Word of God, that, my friends, is something to behold. That is the apex of human existence in this life. That is truly, you know, the people that have class go that way. But for fear of being ostracized, you know, the cares of this life, for fear of being an outcast, few people will actually go that way with Jesus. You know, they want to be included. They don't want to be glossed over. Ah, and the riches and the pleasures of this life. You know, the other one is desire. You know, a lot of people are pulled in the way of their desires, or the way of the pleasures of this life, and the way it's as that is dangled out there in front of them, and those emotions begin to race for all that this world can potentially offer them, they forget the truth, which is, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? In Mark chapter 8, the latter part of that chapter. What does it profit you to get it all? What does it profit you to have all that the world has to give and yet lose that which is important and that which is real, to not be in possession of your soul? What does it profit you? So the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now, in another one of the Gospels, it talks about the deceitfulness of riches. And here's the thing, is that so many things in this life are neutral. And it just depends on what you do with it. You know, I believe things like the internet is neutral. But, you know, and it can be used for good, it can be used for evil, depending on the heart and the motive and the intention behind the user that goes to it. What people put up, what people access, what people use it for. And, you know, money can be a fantastic tool, but it is a horrible, horrible, horrible master. And many people are slaves to it. And they serve it. What did Jesus say? You can't love both God and mammon. Either you will love one and hate the other, you serve one and despise the other. You know, you can't love both. So when you love God and you follow truth, you learn to subjugate that other things that the world has and make them tools, and to approach them in the right way. See, the world, rather, it goes and serves the created things, and it makes those their gods, and then it seeks to subjugate the truth and God, and to try to use God as a tool to their ends to serve the God that they've actually chosen to serve. And here's the thing, is God is not bound by any of their boxes, nor is he, you know, have any obligation to uphold their illusion. So in the end, they end up creating another Jesus. They end up creating another God. They end up creating something else in their image and their likeness, and give people that, and thereby having a form of godliness that denies the power thereof, and people that are going the wrong way are deluded, because that's what they want as well. And because that resonates in them, and they find a bunch of other people going that same direction, all patting each other on the back, saying, hey, we're all okay, right? Yeah, okay. And they're all on the deck of the Titanic, dying, going down. You know, and right now, in real time, you know, we're seeing these kind of things popping up all over the world, as the world and the world system is falling apart and breaking apart each and every day that we go forward. Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. It's very simple. Hear the word, press in unto God, even as the disciples showed, ask him to reveal the truth, the real truth unto you. Remember what Paul said when he was talking to the early apostles? And he talked about how it was the Spirit of God that revealed it to him. Remember with Peter when he asked, who do you say? When Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say? Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, Peter, but my Father who is in heaven. When you press in unto God, when you seek the truth, when you seek the real word from Him, and you ask for that, you will receive it. When you seek it, you will find it. When you knock, the door is open. When you hear the word, and He reveals it unto you, He reveals it. Not the man-made systems. Not people trying to build their programs or their religions or get you to come in and be a slave and get you to toe the party line and get you to stand up there and be an usher or serve communion. I mean, come on. You know, quit with enslaving people. Galatians talked about that. You just got out of slavery and now you jump back into it. Who bewitched you? You know, you were a slave in the world, now you're a slave in religion. Just, you know what? I have met so many people who are slaves to religion and are miserable. They are in so much bondage. They're no different than the people that are in bondage in the world. They're not free. They're not. They're miserable. They're whipping and beating themselves all the time. Just trying to be good enough, waiting for somebody to tell them they're okay. Hoping. And you know what? The way that they get their approval is how? By the collective. Everybody else telling them they're okay. Oh, wow, you're such a great brother in Christ, aren't you? You're such a great sister. You're so holy. You're so this. You're so that. You're just, I mean, come on, give me a break. Here, you know, in the end, each one of us stands before God, and, you know, it's your life is laid bare before Him. It's not going to be the collective. It's going to be you. How are you with your connection with your Creator? Do you know Him? Are you consummated with the Spirit of God? Is there no separation between you and Him? Have you been made one in Him? Because that is the prayer that Jesus prayed for us in John 17. His prayer was that we would be, even as He is in the Father and the Father is in Him, that they may be one in us. His prayer for us is that we may be one in Him. And He gave us His Spirit for that. The Spirit of truth. We've been given everything necessary to be one in Him and to live the abundant life. So, are you one in Christ? Is this reality part of your existence? And if not, stop and ask the question. Seek, ask, seek, knock, press in. You know, that's what people did when Jesus' day, when He walked around and they knew that He had the goods. They knew that He had the truth. And they pressed in and they said, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Teacher, what is real? What is true? What do I need to do? And He would tell them. And very often when He would tell them, it would come up against the reality of the choice and the delusion and the illusion that they had built for themselves. And like the rich young ruler, you know, Jesus, what did He tell him? He said, look, if you really want to be perfect, go sell everything that you've got. Then come and follow Me. Basically, let go of that thing which is the block between you and having a real relationship with the living God. let go of that. And then you will be in a place. Then you're going to be in a place to come follow me. Then you're going to be, you will have removed of your free will the thing that is right now what you're serving and a slave to. You know, I feel pity for so many of these religious leaders, because when I see them, I see the bondage that they're in. You know, I see the demons that are looking through their eyes that have enslaved them. You know, like, oh gosh. I mean, like, somebody like Joel Osteen, you know, if he really wanted the truth, well, you know what? Close down that system you got going, that religion, and that box you call a church. Step out of that, and then you'll be in a place to come and follow Jesus. No, but you know what? They gotta keep that thing cranked up. Slaves to the world and the world system. Perpetrators of the illusion and not of truth. They're not free. How can somebody that is not free tell anybody else how to get free? You know, it's... No, my friends. Freedom and truth, it will strip you bare, but in the process, you will see things for what they really are. And that, and truth, is the beginning point. You know, but the thing is, too many people want their lie. They want the delusion. They want the deception. They want to keep it going. They want to keep it going for one more day. They want to keep it going just for one more round. And in doing so, they die slow, painful deaths when abundant life is available right now in Christ Jesus. When abundant life is available right now in Him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, He is, you know, but He's a way. He is the Word. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's what Jesus said. You know, anyone that would deny Him denies the truth. Anyone that would stay on the side of the devil is found on the wrong side when all these things come down. There is a way out that's been made, but it's on His terms, not yours. It's on His terms. And we have to be willing to humble ourselves, bow our knees before the King of Kings, receive the life that He offers, and then walk it out. But that on the good ground are they, with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Keep going. Keep going. Bring forth fruit with patience. You just keep going. You keep moving. You know what the walk of faith is? It's just one step of faith after another. One step of trust after another. Keep going with Him. Trust Him. Keep going with Him. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or put it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that which enter in may see the light. God had lit your life ablaze so that you would shine bright for Him. And as we shine bright in a dark world, we expose things. That's just part of our existence. So don't get upset when the darkness tries to put out the light, because they don't understand the light, nor do they want to be around the light or have that light there. So either they want to seduce you, destroy you, crush you, put you in fear, whatever else. They want to try to use the same traps that they fell for. Just listen. Having heard the word, you keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. You keep going. You keep it. You keep the word. You don't get diverted by the sirens that call from the rocks. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore now, ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and to whomsoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. You know, you've been blessed. Go forward in this word, go forward in this truth, and you will be blessed all the more. You'll have an abundance. I reject the truth, and you end up in a place where all those that reject truth end up. So with that, you know, we offer it out with a grateful heart, grateful for what God has done in us, and sharing the truth, because you know what? It is a river of water that flows through our souls. And there's abundance in him. And as we're poured out according to the will and the plan and the purpose of God, he is limitless. And he's a giving and a wonderful and a loving Father. And he intends the best for you. But in order for you to receive it, you have to follow him. Because that is the way out and the way through. So with that, hey, we love you guys. God bless you. Write us. Even if it's just to say hi, just write us an email and say hi. Nice to hear from you. Faithmix@gmail.com. We always love to hear from you guys. And you can also say hi on Facebook. We got a page. But hey, we love you guys. And keep on keeping on. Hey, you're doing awesome. All right. I'll talk to you soon. God bless you. Bye. Thank you.